back, everybody. I am mining investor and editor of Resource Stock Digest, Gerardo Del Real here with my partner, friend, and colleague, Mr. Nick Hodge, who's an investor, publisher of Daily Profit Cycle, author, thinker, family man, hunter, amongst other occupational titles that he bears. This is the 342nd episode of our weekly therapy session that we call Investing in Bizarro World. We're going to talk gold. We're going to talk silver. We're going to talk crypto for a little bit, what we're investing in. We're going to talk private placements. Got a doozy of a one happening right now that just went live. A lot to get to. Nick, first and foremost, how goes you, sir?
I go well, Gerardo. I go as you do across the country to New Orleans and back. Excited to be with you again this week. We, of course, did this from New Orleans last week. I went hunting this morning, in fact. I played a little hooky from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. and did a little goosing. And I'm excited about the next couple of weeks. We'll talk about it a little bit. How are you, sir?
I am well. I am much better than 15-year-olds around Megyn Kelly, because apparently Megyn Kelly seems to think that, you know, I'll quote her because I don't want her to sue me for $5 million. So let me just quote her. She said, "I know somebody very close to this case, Jeffrey Epstein," talking about the Epstein case. "And this person's view was not a pedophile. He was just into the barely legal type. Like, he liked the 15-year-old girls. He wasn't into like 8-year-olds. There's a difference between a 15-year-old and a 5-year-old. So I go very well knowing that this lady is far, far away, hopefully, from my kids and yours. And man, holy smokes, the state of the world. It is a bizarro world in 2025. We're going to get to markets here in a little bit. I was just so appalled that she said this in public on air.
It's disgusting. I didn't see it except for on the sheet that we use before we prepare for this podcast. But obviously, the entire ordeal is gross. We had on Rudy Havenstein a couple of months ago to talk about it. I mean, that's gross. That's illegal in, first of all, in like every state except for maybe West Virginia. I just made that up. But that's gross, man. Like, that's still pedophilia. And we're getting some of these emails now, you know, and it's all the things you thought, right? Like Larry Summers emailing back and forth with Jeffrey Epstein, trying to pin stuff on Trump, Epstein trying to get favors from Larry Summers. This is like Harvard stuff, right? And the one email I saw was Larry Summers asking if Jeff Epstein had any drug dirt on Trump. And Epstein replied by saying, "Maybe, but can you get this Rothschild a tour of Harvard next week?" I mean, like all the stuff that you thought it was, it is, right? So it's fucking disgusting. Sorry for cussing in the first 2 minutes, but it's why we specifically, I have preached the things I preached for years.
Yeah. Like
these, and George Carlin, by the way, I watched the George Carlin documentary on the
one of the best man.
On the way to New Orleans, and then the second part on the way back, it was like a Judd Apatow flick. Amazing, man. It's a big fucking club, and you ain't in it. They don't care about you. They don't care about you. I mean, that's exactly what he said. That's exactly what it is. And that's what it continues to be ever since I was old enough to vote and understand, you know, politics and politicians and the Patriot Act is, you know, my first foray into that, and Iraq, and then Obama getting a peace prize for bombing five nations. And all these guys are protecting people that are behind this entire scandal. And it essentially out in the open now, it should make your blood boil. And at the same time, you've got to go on with your life. It's not like you're going to do anything to change it or anything like that. You just got to point the fingers and laugh and know what the system is.
And by all means, protect your kids, people, because good Lord, it's a nutty world. Let's talk markets. We were in New Orleans. Let's talk happy things. Man, what a conference. Nonstop, morning to night, top to bottom. You presented individually. We presented collectively. You were on a panel. We each had individual interviews with INN. I was out there interviewing for Resource Stock Digest. We had a couple of dinners that were very well attended. One that you absolutely did a brilliant job and absolutely killed hosting. So thank you for that, sir. Man, where do we start? I mean, I want to talk about the rebound in gold back close to 4,200 and silver pushing 53. But I feel like we should do a recap of New Orleans. Got to meet some incredible subscribers. Got a testimonial from one or two. What a week. It was a lot of hard work. But man, it felt really worthwhile, and it felt really nice to connect with subscribers, people that have done well in the past year with us, people that are enthusiastic. It was the most diverse crowd I think I've ever seen. It was the largest crowd I've ever seen, a good mix of younger people with speculators and investors. So, I mean, it checked all the boxes for me, a lot of hard work, but I came away feeling great about the sector and where we're at with things.
Yeah, so much to talk about. You need lots of subscribers there from this podcast all the way up to the private placement service. So good to meet and see you all. Some of you see you all again. Josh, Victor, Mark, Gavin, a couple of other ones I'm sure I'll forget, but thanks for coming out. Thanks for saying hi.
Yes.
And some new subscribers as well. You mentioned, you know, I gave an individual talk that was all about private placements. Maybe we'll talk more about that in a bit. I feel like that was well received and had people coming up after asking about the track record, which is obviously your track record as well, and how they can get involved and have since gotten involved since the conference last week. They've come on board. So that was good. You know, sentiment obviously good at $4,000 gold. Lots of the pundits or talking heads, and including you and I, were saying that we're in the midst of a pullback, a healthy correction. It turns out, at least for now, that's what it seemed to be. Gold held right at 4,000 there, back up at 4,200, like you said. Companies raising money was a big theme there. All the money that's been raised, and then the loosening up of the wallets. And so, yeah, it was a great show. Good to get everyone in the same building. And of course, New Orleans is New Orleans. So listen to some great jazz, had that great dinner and other dinners, as you say. So it was a great show. I think that many seeds were planted. I think that was your terminology to harvest in the future in terms of finding new deals, making new friends, making new connections, you know, bringing new subscribers into the fold. And so well worth the effort to get out there and get back, even though I know some folks had flight schedules because of the government shutdown, which is not shut down anymore, but maybe they should shut it back down given what the market's doing today.
I find it highly ironic that the day the government comes back, the Dow's down some 780 points. And look, I don't dabble in that sandbox. Everybody knows where I play. I play exclusively in the natural resource space, and I'm 100% confident my next several years will be robust. And I don't know that I can say the same about the tech sector, but also I'm not a tech guy. So I'd love your thoughts on the overall indices, and then maybe we could get back to copper, uranium, and I want to talk Bitcoin a bit. But overall indices, any thoughts on the sell-off? I mean, clearly it's, you know, you got the big seven that make up like the majority of the market move, right? Whether it's the Dow or the NASDAQ or the S&P to a lesser degree, but solid sell-off today.
Yeah, I got a lot of thoughts. So settle in, I guess, and take a sip of water. Let's start with the Fed and the rate cuts, right? Because everybody wants the rate cuts and everybody thought they were going to get another rate cut. And I would submit to you that one of the reasons we're having the sell-off today is because the odds of that December rate cut is now not above 50%. It was like I was writing an issue earlier, and the last time I looked, it was like a 49% chance of a rate cut or something. So that's the market having a hissy fit about not getting its rate cut. Let's talk about why it's not going to get its rate cut and why the market should not be having a hissy fit. Growth is going to be okay. So, and I just wrote my macro issue, so this is fresh in my brain, and I'm going to try to parse it out a little bit. We long have known that the economy is not the stock market. What the stock market cares about, what the machine cares about, is the numbers. And so, you know, I've seen the job cuts of the past couple of weeks, the tech layoffs, Target laying off people, et cetera, et cetera. Market don't care about that. market cares about growth and inflation. So, you know, we got a delay on the third quarter GDP. It's not going to be out until later this month. It should have been out at the end of October, but it's going to show 3% growth. Like, it's still there. The growth is still backing the stock market. And it doesn't really matter where that growth comes from, is another point. I see people freaking out saying, how can the stock market be going up with all these layoffs? Or there was a Harvard professor who did some calculations and said that some 90% of the growth can be attributed to AI and data centers. Guess what? The market don't care about that either. All the market cares about is that number, and the number go up. The economy is expanding. And the other part of that is inflation, and that's the other reason the market is freaking out right now, is because inflation is sort of leveling off. We got back up to 3%, which I said we were going to get back up to, but now oil is not falling off a cliff, but it's very soft. And so you're going to get this tiptoeing or this back and forth of inflation, and the market, I don't think doesn't know quite what to make of it. And that factors into the Fed rate cut decision as well. What was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, it's about empathy I was writing about. Like, I see the people who didn't get their SNAP benefits or were in danger of not getting, you know, meals and things like that. Again, as a human, I'm sympathetic and empathetic, but the market does not care. And so you've got to make a distinction, or a separation is actually what I was writing just an hour ago. And there's profit in that separation. So for all the reasons I just said, I think this sell-off today, or correction, or whatever you want to call it, is just another blip. Still no recession on the horizon, and you'll likely see another 3% inflation print. But then heading into to next year, to 2026, after December, after the next four, six weeks and the holiday, you'll see inflation going back down with still that 3% growth, and you'll be back to all-time highs in the S&P. So, and it's bizarro times. Obviously, we're investing in bizarro world, and it's super sad to see the wealth inequality. But at the same time, you've got to know what brought that into being. And it's those same fucking assholes that are protecting Jeff Epstein.
Facts. You, look, the market is so bizarro right now. One of my favorite movies, everyone knows, or anyone that knows me knows, is The Big Short. I watch it at least probably two or three times a year. I had my kids watch it the other day. They absolutely loved it. And you know, one of the central characters is Michael Burry, right? And so Michael Burry was famous for, you know, being wrong about the market, about the housing market, being inflated and betting against it. He was wrong for 2 years, and then he was really right when it collapsed, right? And he just closed his fund down. You know, he took a huge short positions on Nvidia and Palantir and a bunch of other ones that just absolutely haven't worked out. He's gotten absolutely smoked in the market. And he basically wrote a letter to his investors saying, I'm closing this down because the market just doesn't make any sense to me. I can't evaluate the market on a traditional metric-based basis. And so I read the farewell letter, the last letter from Warren Buffett, who's also stepping down. And I don't think it's a coincidence that big capital that has looked at the markets in a traditional way for many, many decades, all of a sudden looks at a market that just doesn't make any sense. While simultaneously, we're getting pitched 50-year mortgages. 50-year mortgages. And now, you know, I don't want to get into a whole rant about it, but I'll say this. I was ranting about BlackRock 4 or 5 years ago, coming into Austin and all these communities and buying entire subdivisions, right? Which I saw the writing on the wall. I knew what they were doing. They're trying to price new people out of the housing market so that they're forced to rent. And now with this 50-year push, this push for this 50-year mortgage, the plan is clear as all day. If it makes it through, to the White House's credit, everybody but Trump was furious about it because they presented him a little thing saying you'd be a great president if you do a 50-year mortgage. And he immediately, like a child, went to Truth Social and started, you know, texting away without checking with any of his people. But the plan is, sure, the barriers to enter the housing market will be less. Simultaneously, Fannie Mae wants to do away with the 620 credit score requirement. So you could have no credit now. Lower credit, right? And you can have debt for 50 years. If you buy your first place at 25 or 24, like I did, a 50-year mortgage, I mean, you might see it paid off one day. It's a debt trap, y'all. I don't see how people can't understand it. Now, if you can use that to get into the housing market and you know, establish yourself some revenue streams that allow you to pay it off sooner, great. Use it as a vehicle. But man, the way it's been done over the past 4 or 5 years, it's social engineering at its most evil and wicked as it relates to capitalism. And I absolutely hate the idea.
Well, you'll own nothing and like it, Gerardo. And then you're going to have a 15-year car payment as well. So
I forgot about the fucking 15-year car payments. Yep.
Yeah. So, and 24, 25 is being generous. Do you know what the average age of a new home buyer is in America right now?
36, I would imagine.
It's 40. Do you know what the average age of a home buyer in general is?
42?
61.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, these young folks cannot afford houses. They've already been priced out. And so, yeah, I mean, again, you'll own nothing and you're like it. And you said that it's a debt trap. So after I made my rant in Foundational Profits about the empathy and everything I just told you about, I said, you know, you can't be empathetic if you want to get ahead. You just gotta buy, you gotta own the assets. And then I said, gold bugs, or those who are invested in gold or sympathetic to gold, are actually the most empathetic, because gold is the key to that debt box, right? So just look at the past 20 years. Like, yeah, the S&P is up over 200%, something like 230%, but gold is up something like 250%. So gold understands why the stock market has done what the stock market has done, right? Low interest rates, money printing, etc. And gold has responded in kind by outperforming the stock market that's driven by all that financial and social engineering. And so there's potential to do both in that sense. Again, I think that owning gold is an empathetic sort of thing. You're feeling what these young folks are feeling with the fiat trap is what I called it. And gold is the way out. I don't know what else to say except for that. You say, you know, if a 40 year old is the average new home buyer, they get a 50 year mortgage. Well, they're 90. But I would submit that also the entire way the American dream has been set up is to work to your 65 and enjoy your little retirement or pension that you used to have, and then you die at 73, which is the average age of expiration for humans in the United States. So yeah, any way you sort of slice it, whether it's a 50-year mortgage or work until you only have 8 years left to live, like that's another back to George Carlin. It's the American dream, baby, because you'd have to be asleep to believe it.
Facts. Look, shameless plug, but I got to do it, right? Like, you got to get in the game, and you better start investing, and you better own some assets, because it's completely rigged against those of you that just want to do a traditional 9-to-5, save your money, hope the bank pays you 3, 4, 5% forever. Meanwhile, inflation is likely going to outpace that over the next several years. You have to get in the game. I don't care if it's through Nick Hodge, Gerardo Del Real, private placement Intel, which if you're an accredited investor and you are not a member of yet, look, we put up our 24-month track record at the New Orleans Investment Conference, and we had an investor that, you know, is pretty well off and invests heavily in the market. And he said, "Are those numbers real?" He couldn't believe that those were real, and he couldn't believe that those weren't cherry-picked numbers. That was every single transaction for the last 24 months. And so I say that to say, I'm going to keep working my behind off, and I know Nick is as well, you know, to bring you great deals, to bring you great picks, to find value early. And the deal that we just presented 2 days ago couldn't be a better example of it, right? It's a deal where the company is a capital pool corp. We're likely ending up taking, in the first 36 hours, that thing is more than halfway filled and likely way oversubscribed already. So we'll likely take down the entire financing for the company. We know the people, we know the team, we know the structure. It's got a $6-7 million market cap post-financing. And a team that knows how to execute, a team that has been the team that was involved early on with Patriot Battery Metals, you know, through Blair Way and Kevin Bottomley and Alicia Milding from Q2 Metals fame, who's done well. So a team I absolutely trust with my capital.
Q2 is ripping, by the way.
Q2 is ripping, 52-week highs. I was going to shout that one out a little bit later, but no, yeah, kudos. Shout out to Q2 Metals. I told everybody at 30 and 40 cents, I don't care what the price is. That's a world-class tier one asset. It'll bounce back when it bounces back. You have to know what you own. Back to my rant, you know, that's a stock that's halted because of the financing and the qualifying transaction. They have a joint venture on, let's call it a fourth of their land package, which is massive. It's over 1,200 square kilometers in Australia. That joint venture is with Newmont. If that's all they had, the stock, when it's free trading again after the qualifying transaction in the next month or month and a half, is likely a double or a triple right off the bat. You not only get to buy shares at 25 cents at a $7 million valuation, you get a 40-cent warrant, a full one, for 2 years. So now you have two shots on goal. I don't know of any other way to accelerate my capital's growth than through investing in the resource space, because that's what I do exclusively outside of real estate. And I don't do that for capital gains appreciation. I do it because I like real estate.
You could become a congressman.
Please, no. Don't get me going. You're better suited for that than I am, I think. But no, look, it's a hell of a deal. We have a couple more in the works that we're working on. We're going to continue working through the holidays and into 2026. And 2026, I think, is going to be as good for us as 2025, 2024, and 2023 were. So please, by all means, get in the game. We have like 115 or 120 spots left for that particular service. The price is increasing. It's no longer going to be offered at the discounted rate because we're worried that we're going to run out of spots. We do cap that at 250. I don't know how else to pitch it other than to tell you, if you want to grow your capital and your money, there's a good likelihood that through that service, you'll be able to do that. And look, are we going to get them right every single time? No. Have we been fortunate in our due diligence in the market to have gotten them right every single time in the last 2 years? Yes, every single time. I forget the amount. How many names are on that 2 year list, Nick? Ballpark?
Oh, here. Well, I'll just take the baton and run with it.
There you go.
This is the track record. We showed this last week in last week's episode, if you watched. It was, you know, the live version from the New Orleans Investment Conference, and this was one of the slides. So the statistic is 13 of the last 18 deals we've done since the beginning of 2024 have more than doubled, and some have more than doubled. I mean, I see North Shore at 420%. I see Dara at 416%, Kingsman at 440% Q2, which we just shouted out, 304%. And this is old. Q2 is like $1.25 now, not $1.01, et cetera. And on down the line, MineHub at 331%. Just for example, and all those, literally all of those have warrants, as you can see on the right-hand side there, many of which, if not all of which, I'd have to go one by one, are in the money. So the congressman was funny, not funny joke, but I was posting on Twitter the track record, just like we're talking about now. And I said that, you know, if you can find a track record better than this, I'll pay you $2,025. That's the special rate for private placement intel until this Monday, by the way. And somebody hit me back and said, I'll send you my wire details. And they had a picture of Nancy Pelosi. That's the strategy. That's the track record that could beat it. I thought that was hilarious.
That is, I've got to love our subscribers, man, and our listeners. You guys are awesome. So yeah, look, it's I'm pitching it because of the fact that we've been fortunate enough through our network and through how long we've been around to have deal flow that is top notch. We're going to continue that. I want you all to get involved. You know, it's fun to make money. It's a lot funner to make money with good people, friends, family, colleagues, subscribers, and, you know, enjoy the ride together. There is no fun in just making money by yourself. I've seen many of people with a whole heck of a lot more money than I walk around living life miserable with all the money in the world because of how they got it, how they accumulated it, because it was a zero-sum game for them. That is not the way that we approach life, not the way that we approach making money. And, you know, let's have a little fun in the meantime too, but let's keep working hard, and hopefully we can do that together and get y'all in the game a little better.
Just a bit of a finer point, and you said that really well. That 250 target isn't some arbitrary made up thing like you see in so much newsletter marketing, right? Where Endless Energy is going to save the world if you only subscribe for $99 now or something like that. That's a real hard target. You mentioned the deal that we're doing now. You sent out one write-up. It was probably, if I had to guess, 700-800-900 words, something like that.
Yeah.
And well over $1 million of interest has come in from that tight-knit group, as you call it.
In a day and a half.
Correct. So the point is this, many of the deals that we finance, including the I don't want to say a ton of names now, but the ones I was just calling out, the Daras of the world or the URZs, for example, those are tiny market caps, $10, $15 million market caps. The raises are only raising $1 million, $2 million, $3 million. If we can bring in over $1 million with one email to less than 150 folks, we won't be able to find deals big enough for 250 folks. People won't be able to get the allocations they want.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, we're already starting to get into a space where people are having to get cut back. And what I mean by that is, just easy math, there's $1 million available. People want $1.5 million total. Well, you can't fit a square peg into a round hole. So those people got to get cut back till you get back down to $1 million. So either have to find bigger deals, which aren't as juicy and don't have as much leverage inherently because you're starting from a higher market cap or a higher valuation.
Yeah.
So, or You put a cap on it, right? So yeah. That's what we've done. We've said that actually since we started marketing the service, 250 is going to be it. And as a consequence of that, and as a consequence of, frankly, the success, and you know, there was a subscriber who wrote in with a wonderful testimonial a couple of months ago saying about, you know, how his wife didn't think they should do it. And now they laugh because they're retired and they're so financially secure and they're loving traveling with their grandkids and their camper or whatever. And he was like, my only worry is that you guys are too successful, right? And that's exactly that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, not being able to get deals big enough for these people to get into. And so as a result or a consequence, however you want to view it, we're not raising the price. We're just going back to the normal price. Yeah. We've been offering it at $2,025 practically all year. We even had a webinar about it back in, I want to say it was either February or June. I can't quite remember, but we've been offering that price and people have been taking it, but we sort of got to slow it down a little bit and make people pay more. So after next week or after Monday, it's going to go up to that full price, $4,999. And, well worth it, as we hear from subscribers time and again via testimonials, via talking to them in person. You know, there was one gentleman in New Orleans who was talking about, you know, quitting his job and moving to Florida, right? He says he could take 1 or 2 years off and do whatever the hell he wants, largely as a result of the recommendations he's received from you and I. So some people balk at that price, but if you're accredited to begin with, then that price is a small entry fee to pay for whatever, 13 of 18 deals doubling in the past 12 to 18 months. So droning on a bit about private placements, but that's where we've had the bulk of our success and that's where we get great deal flow. So by all means, check it out.
Absolutely. Well said. Well said. I want to touch on Bitcoin. Gold, silver looks bullish. Copper looks bullish. Uranium looks bullish. I don't think we need to dive too far into the weeds there. The thesis remains intact. Anything that you want to add on those four before I ask you about Bitcoin?
No. Copper hit all-time highs at the end of October is looking good. And no, let's talk about it. So I don't have a lot to say about Bitcoin, and maybe we can have Chris Curl on in the future. What I'll say is that it's broken down. So depending on where you sit and how you invest, maybe, you know, it's time to buy. You're a contrarian. I've been in an Ethereum ETF since June or July, and then we were up some 80 or 90%, and now we're only up 40 some percent, and it's broken down. And just completely candidly, I'm selling the Ethereum ETF in tomorrow's issue when it hits the wire. We'll take our 40% profits and we'll take our ball and go home and sort of sort it out. I have not got a clear read, or if you're a hunter, a clear bead, which is at the end of your shotgun, on what the crypto markets are doing. You know, they sometimes trade with gold and other monetary hedges. They often trade with money supply, which both tell me that they should be going up, not down, right? So especially with, you know, Trump is talking about $2,000 stimmies again. I wonder if he's going to write Department of Government Efficiency on those fucking checks, asshole.
let me, spoiler alert, you're not getting a check, people. Let me just tell you straight up, you're not getting anything. Zip, zero, zilch.
Yeah, well, he's talking about stimulus. So all that commensurate with rate cuts that have been, you know, going on would tell me that the crypto complex should be going up, and it's not. So sometimes the best answer is I don't know. And I frankly don't know, which is why I'm going to, another fishing analogy or hunting, I'm just going to cut bait, right? And wait and see where the fish show up. That's pretty much all I got to say about the crypto complex, except Michael Saylor was pumping it pretty hard just a couple of days before this nasty sell-off. I mean, he was tweeting, buy now, like, hold the line. Like, I don't know, man. It's turned into a weird little space.
It's a bizarro world out there. I want to give and this isn't a recommendation, folks, just a shout-out for some damn good work. Trident Resources is a company that is a, you know, paid sponsor on Resource Stock Digest, familiar with Jonathan Weisblatt. Familiar with Jordan Trimble, who's a director, but congrats to them on really demonstrating to the market and to companies. And now I'm talking to you companies out there that have been promising drilling for years on end and do nothing but keep bringing me surface samples. But congrats to them for raising some capital, rolling the shares back, tightening up the share structure, creating Trident out of Rockridge and another company that merged, and then hitting it out the park. They had some phenomenal drill results this past week. The stock was up some 105% on one drill hole in one day off of the first three holes. The numbers were spectacular. I highlight that to highlight the fact that there's a lot of value in the exploration space right now. I'll give you another free one and an example. And you know, my single largest position in terms of dollars, Hannon Metals, announced a $4 million financing with zero warrants. Kudos to them. Not a half warrant, not a full warrant. You get nothing. What you get is the opportunity to accumulate a big position pre-discovery at a fixed price, that fixed price being 75 cents, a tiny discount to the market. Now, if you wanted to buy 1 million shares or 2 million shares in the open market, you couldn't do it without driving the price out to $1.25 or $1.50. So people are taking advantage of that to the tune of $8 to $9 million is where that financing is now. So a $4 million raise with zero warrants, zero half warrant, has now turned into an $8 or $9 million raise on the expectation and acknowledgement that that is one of the best technical teams in the space, that Michael Hudson has created with his team, a company, Southern Cross Gold, that is now a $2 billion company, and that Hannon is pre-discovery with a $100 million market cap. One drill hole changes everything, and it's why I love the game. Kudos to Trident. Met with them when we were in New Orleans. I can see why John was excited now. He was confident. We actually, I led a tour that we took shareholders and subscribers over to, had a great chat with him, presented well, and I'm excited to see what else comes from that project. But congrats to the Trident team.
Heck yeah. No, heck of a hole. Super high grade. Shallow. I mean, everything you want to see, right? In a past producing district, if I'm not mistaken. Great response. Good to see that response. And they haven't been the only one. We've shouted out a couple in the past couple of months here. And then that's what happens in a bull market. So by all means, shameless plug, Resource Stock Digest, good source of research and interviews, because we had a pretty in-depth report about that company late this summer, August, September timeframe for sure.
Yeah. And look, I'm going to rant a little bit because we get pushback. Nick and I, sometimes from certain people, I'm like, well, if you like making money, just make your decision. And, you know, listen, if not, just don't listen to us. Go listen to someone else. But Nick and I own two companies, right? We co-own two companies. We co-own Digest Publishing, which is host to this podcast here, and then several other publications, including Private Placement Intel. And we co-own essentially what's a marketing firm, a media company called Resource Stock Digest, which is where you get free interviews, free information, free reports that we're able to bring to you because the companies on our list pay for us to help get their story out and create content for them. So, you know, we hear sometimes, oh, well, isn't there a conflict? Well, it's only a conflict if you're conflicted, right? It's like people that are afraid to be around gay people. I'm like, well, it's only an issue if you're afraid that you're really gay and you have a problem with being gay, right? Like, why would it be an issue for me to be around gay people? I'm not gay, or for me to be around whoever. Like, if you know who you are, there is no issue, right? And so it's the same thing with that. We don't worry about it on our end of it because our job is to bring you quality content. We're able to do that in multiple platforms in different ways. And, you know, again, we can't bring that content to you for free if we're not accepting payment. We vet every company that's on, you know, the client list. The sponsor list is robust. Trident is one of those companies. We were happy to bring you that report a couple of months ago. Yes, it was paid content. Yes, it was factual. Yes, we told you there was high likelihood for a discovery. Yes, all that happened. And everybody that got that report is up 125% in a couple of months. So if that doesn't work for you, I respect it. I give you two thumbs up and I wish you all the best. Get your info from someone else, people. That's my rant on that.
I like it. Now I'm not conflicted. We eat our own cooking and it tastes good. That's what we say.
That's it. That's it. We keep it simple. What are you looking at, Nick? I see you.
Well, I know we're going to get ready to wrap up here, and yeah, we want to do some bizarro banter. So I was going to talk about the rise of socialism. I don't know what else you want to talk about.
Let's do it. Seattle's in the house. New York is in the house.
So you got it. Keep going.
Cook. Go ahead. I don't want to steal your thunder, man. Without even talking about it. But yeah,
I don't really have thunder to steal. It's just, you know, let's start back in New Orleans, I guess, with Matt Taibbi was the keynote speaker, and he gave a speech about the time he spent in Russia for his college education and the things he saw and learned there and the frame of mind of the people and the attitude of the people and some of the history behind the rise of socialism. And you know, he started it off with something like this, you know, this is the attitude of the Russian people. There was a Russian guy who rubbed a lamp and a genie came out and said, you could have one wish, but whatever you wish for, your neighbor gets twice as much. And the guy wished for one of his eyes to be poked out. So that's the attitude that socialism brings after several generations of being entrenched, because it's not the right sort of macro or political situation that you want. Like, it hasn't been good for humanity wherever it's been practiced and tried and forced into existence. He was keen to remind the audience that to usher in that socialism, literally tens of millions of people had to perish, right? So careful what you wish for. What I was looking up was one of my favorite cartoons, and let's see if I can just share it for one second. I got so many freaking tabs open, Gerardo. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Share the screen. Yes, sir. Bear with me one second.
No.
Let me do it.
You're good.
I might not be able to do it. Oh yeah, here we go. There it is. So that's the march of tyranny, right? And one cycle, the blue boot or the blue leg steps on you, and you say, "Oh man, next time I'm gonna vote the other way." And then you know what? You vote the other way, and the next time, that leg steps on you. There's nothing new under the sun in that respect. How do I stop sharing? Here I go. And then I'll sort of talk about what I wanted to talk about, like. Look, man, fourth turning. So I get why folks would want to vote that way. Just as the March of Tyranny says, oh, that Trump, he's exacerbating the wealth inequality or whatever. I'm going to vote the other way. Great. How did Obama turn out for you after you got fed up with Bush? Because that's how I came of age, railing against the Iraq War and the Patriot Act and Bush and Cheney. Glad he's dead. And then I voted for Obama the first time, and it was like, wait, we're gonna keep bombing countries, and we're gonna keep whatever, deporting people, or we're gonna bail out the banks with the troubled asset relief program. It's like, nah, this ain't where it's at. And not that I'm some quick study or some super smart dude, but at that point I was like, nah, I'll just check out of this system and do it for myself, right? And what I see, whether it's whatever the guy's name is, Zohan, he's like the fucking Zoltar from the movie Big that Tom Hanks plays at the fair to start off the movie. I don't know if you remember what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think that was Zoltar. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Whether it's him or the lady who just won, unseated the incumbent for the Seattle mayoral election, or tying it back here to Spokane, which is what I was going to do. So check this out. You've been following me along on my Spokane political journey for the past year. I won't spend a lot of time on it, but you'll recall the hot dog and fries guy. I ordered a burger and fries. You gave me a hot dog and tater tots. And that guy was the only guy making sense. He just lost his city council seat to a socialist.
Wow.
And so at this point, it's like, you get what you vote for, people. Like, you know, you had 75% of the people not happy with the direction of the city and wanted certain things to happen. And then you vote out the person who was making the most sense about making that happen. So at some point, you got to blame the voter, man. Like, in some respects, and I get it's not entirely their fault. They can't change the system, but you've got to sort of understand that march of tyranny and know that, again, back to the beginning of the hour and George Carlin and the club, they ain't there for you, man. Like, I'll bet you $2,025 that you don't get any government-owned grocery stores in New York City. And if they are, they're an absolute failure. I'll bet you money that taxes are going to go up in Seattle proper. You know, that's just how it goes. So I guess the point I'm making is that there's not some political situation. There's not some political messiah or savior. There's not some other system, that's the best. And I've been sort of talking about this for a couple of months. Like, I went through it too in my 20s, and it's a lot of younger folks who are voting for that, because no upward mobility, no wage growth. I get it. Believe me, I fucking get it. But the government isn't going to do it for you. Like, that's not, first of all, that's not the government's role. No political systems outside of the one we operate in, a representative democracy backed by capitalism, have taken so many people out of poverty and allowed them to have the lifestyle that they have. And look around, because I did. You know, I was thinking about leaving this country at one time, right? Going somewhere else. And I hear a lot of people talk about that, even in Washington. Oh, I'm moving to Idaho. It's like, okay, man, like, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. The grass sometimes is greener where you fertilize and care for it, right? And that's what I mean by taking care of yourself and your family, irrespective or regardless of who's in city council or who's in the mayor's office or who's in the congressman's office or who's in the president's office, because again, they don't care about you. So I guess that's the end of my rant, but there is no political savior. And, you know, despite the K-shaped recovery and the wealth inequality of this country, we still generated over 1,000 new millionaires a day last year. That's facts.
Yeah.
Right. Other facts are we lost over 200 people a day to drug overdoses. So take some self-responsibility, be the 1,000 a day that are turning into millionaires, not the 200 and some a day that are dying on the street because they can't handle the system. And believe me, I get it. Human fragility and psychology and bell curves and all that. But the political system isn't going to save you. It can't.
Yeah. And I'll add one final point to that. And it's why the divisiveness in today's political climate and media climate just drives me up the wall, because it's, again, it's engineered to divide us, y'all. It's not engineered to bring us together. We are going to have to do that. I have Republican friends. I have liberal friends. I have libertarian friends. I have black friends. I have gay friends. I have straight friends. I have all sorts of friends, right? Some people I agree with politically, some people I disagree with economically, some people I don't agree with what they do, but it doesn't affect me, so I wish them the best. There's more things that we have in common, folks, than the things that divide us. And, you know, you had a government shut down essentially for the last 50 something days because they didn't want to swear in a lady that would tally the final vote, that would allow a vote to see who's protecting pedophiles. I don't know that Trump was a pedophile. I don't know that he did anything wrong. I know there's hundreds of names and victims that are in those files that deserve to have accountability. We just had a week where it was Veterans Day, and shout out to the veterans, man. You know, veterans and firefighters, I have the utmost respect for, right? But we just had a day before Veterans Day. Former leader of Al-Qaeda was in the White House.
This guy was holding up heads not too long ago.
Heads as in plural, y'all. Like a couple years ago, we had a $10 million hit on this guy, a bounty on him a couple years back. And now he's in the White House. Meanwhile, we're sending boats and military personnel to Venezuela. And the last report I saw was that the administration is being presented options for boots on the ground there. Like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? And so, look, it's a rant, obviously, but just there's more in common that we have than we don't. And I wish, you know, just as a society, as a community, as a country, we would focus more on that and focus on the things that matter, not so much some of the, you know, other stuff that gets highlighted and amplified by the algorithm, which we talked about, you know, 2 weeks ago, right?
Google anarcho-capitalism and figure out how you can live in a capitalistic state with a stateless society. And that's how you should live your life. Become ungovernable.
Love it. Love it. Listen, let's get to the premium portion of the podcast. I am Gerardo Del Real along with Mr. Nick Hodge. Hope everybody had a great Veterans Day. Salute to all those of you that serve and have a great week. Take care of each other. We will see you next time.
Adios.